Hello and welcome to our 46th episode of the Gutenberg Changelog. We record this on Friday, June 25th in 2021. In today's episode, we talk about theme JSON, the dev notes for WordPress 5.8, Gutenberg release of 10.9, and the upcoming BuddyPress release 9.0, and so many more things. I'm Birgit Pauli Haag, curator at the Gutenberg Times, and I'm here with my co-host, Jagosz Czykowski, code wrangler at Automattic and WordPress core contributor. Good afternoon, Jagosz. How are you doing?
Good morning, Birgit. I'm great. I'm enjoying the benefits of remote work again and working from my temporary office at the Baltic Sea. It's so exciting to be after the second vaccine, and now I can fully enjoy life again. And it's also like the lockdown is almost not existent in Poland, so you just need to wear a mask inside and in general just do social distancing and you are good. So I'm happy about that, getting back to usual, activities that we enjoyed so much before and we miss them.
Yeah.
And how about you? How is life?
Yeah, it's good to hear that Poland is opening up again and you can really go out and enjoy the summer. We did a similar thing. We met friends that we haven't seen all year and also went to beach locations in Venice Beach in Florida and ended it up at the Nokomis Beach drum circle, which we haven't seen because it was it's new in our area. So we explored a little bit there. It was quite a nice, relaxing Saturday afternoon, but I'm also glad that it's Friday and this week is over because it was 4 days and we're not done yet repairing the washing machine. And yeah, so we decided to repair it instead of creating a new one, but then that's kind of has its own hazards. And the process of figuring out what's wrong reminded me pretty much like the searching for bugs in software, where you do, oh, let's test this. It was just kind of interesting from that point of view. Well, let's get into the show. We have
let's do it.
We have a few announcements. Anne McCarthy posted the summary for the full-site editing program of the 7th call for testing, where testers created polished portfolio pages. So we will share that note in the show notes. And it's interesting that a few topics about the full site editing keep coming back, like the one that users are confused in, are they changing content now or are they changing templates? And is it possible to change content accidentally? That's certainly a fear, but it comes along very nicely. And if you haven't done that yet, that you start heeding those calls for testing, there is a new one out and it is the call number 8 and Thrive with the theme JSON, it's called. And it walks you through how you can test the theme JSON for the template editing. This comes right after, it was coincidental, of course, but it's, we had our live Q&A yesterday with Daisy Olson, Jeff Ong, and Tammy Lister talking about how theme JSON changes theme developing for designers. And it was very nice, very insightful discussion. And I will share the YouTube link of the recording. But we also had a demo by Jeff Ong. He did a phenomenal job doing a live demo on how he changed the settings file theme JSON and then how it reflected it on the editor. So he showed how to remove the custom color thing with just one line of code. And he showed how to add additional color palette, which was quite an interesting method before, but now you only do it in one file and you don't have to do it in a separate CSS file either because it's now automatically created through the block editor. And there were some more of those interesting, oh, this makes it so much easier and why should I use CSS files? So it's and there was a great discussion about those questions with Stacey Olson and Jeff and Tammy. Tammy also had this expressed it that we give the themes back to the designer, and the themes just doing that, what it's supposed to do, and not being a secret plugin or there's so many other things that keeps people from switching themes and without losing content. So this was definitely an eye-opener for me to have the discussion with those three experts. And you might really learn from it if you are interested in themes. Yeah.
So my question would be, do you think that this whole concept simplifies things for team developers, or the other way around, it opens new possibilities but makes it all more complicated?
Well, certainly the theme JSON itself can be quite big, but if I look at themes, CSS files, they're even bigger. Yeah, so it definitely simplifies it in my view. It also keeps it all contained in one file, and it hooks into the editor's native features that deal with themes. That's one thing. I also see that right now there is no interface, no GUI for setting up a theme JSON file. But if I read the tea leaves correctly, the predictions or what people are discussing or the team is discussing is that as soon as the global styles interface in the sidebar is kind of finalized, there will also be a place where a theme developer can say, okay, I use the graphical interface to just set those defaults for the global settings, that tool will come out. There was a prototype developed a few months ago, and it certainly hasn't kept up with the development in theme JSON, but it was a theme JSON creator kind of tool. And it seems that the team is looking at bringing that to the block editor as well in a different form.
Yeah, I guess with the complexity of the format of this team JSON file, it's inevitable that the tool must exist to help to move that forward. Because otherwise, I guess with new capabilities added with every Gutenberg plugin release, that would be impossible to keep track of the options that you have. So I'm looking forward how this evolves, and in particular for the full site editing mode, the tab with global styles that has a lot of features planned will be essential to make that work. Yeah. And definitely we'll check out the video recording from this QAA you hosted yesterday once I'm back home.
Yeah.
So thank you for doing that.
Yeah, sure. And I was glad that we were getting back into the live Q&As after we had a half a year kind of hiatus there. So I can see that there will be a few in rapid successions coming in as well, especially with the full set editing catch up with our guests that we had previously there. It was also good to see Tammy again. Yeah, she was the last time on our on that live Q&A with Matthias and Johan Asmussen when it was just about to have the block editor be merged into Core in November 2018. And so it was good to have her back. Yeah.
It's nearly 3 years.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's almost 3 years. Yeah. Yeah, I marvel at the time, all the time when I kind of keep that in mind that it's already 3 years, week after week. Yeah. So, but it's not all that comes up. It's the WordPress 5.8 is in a state of beta, and the beta 4 will be released today, Friday, the June 21st. And then comes release candidate 1. Next week. But if you want to catch up on what's all in 5.8, Harry Shanker from the community team published a post for meetup organizers, but it will also help agency owners and freelancers to quickly get an overview what's coming to the new version. And he clusters the upcoming changes per WordPress stakeholders. Yeah, you'll find sections for publishers and users, and the other section is for builders and developers. So if you just want to read one article, I think this would be it. And it was composed together with quite a few others from the team. So it's a great post. And of course, I'll share it in the show notes. Cale Rigstad reported in his updated initial patents for the patent directory that about 80 patents have been published now in the patent directory. And over the last 2 weeks, Cale, Mel Joyce, and Beatrice Fiallo have fielding community submissions to the patent directory, and we're working with the designers. There are beautiful, wonderful, and useful patents in the directory, and you definitely should check them out, and you can use them for your site. So I think that's a great initial state for the patent directory to be released. It's still in beta, but of course you can view it. And the Meta team is working on making it a little bit more, have more features in there, like you can cluster it per designer, or you can filter it down by what kind of pattern you're looking for. So that's from the community contribution.
Yeah, 80 patterns already. It's growing pretty fast. And we, you know, like last month, we started discussing that this pattern directory is going to be a thing. And we already have so many contributions, and just wait a few more months and see how it evolves and how it grows. It's really exciting to see that the community likes this idea. And as we discussed that before, that's going to be a really important part of the success of this template editing, full site editing mode. And also I recently checked the plugins directory, and there is now 25 pages of plugins that contain blocks. So exactly. This is also growing really fast.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I need to dive into that again. I had a two-year-old post with 100 plugins for the blocks, and I don't think, not all of them are still existent, and there are so many new ones. I think I need to really dive in and to do some testing there. All right, so now we have what's released. As mentioned, WordPress 5.8 had a beta 3 this week earlier on Tuesday, and beta 4 is coming today. So the testing is almost at the end, because release candidate 1 is on schedule for June 29th, and that's hard code freeze, yeah, and string freeze. So all the about page and all that needs to be in there. We had some settled, just to recap that, block-based widget screen is opt-out. So the team created a documentation on how a developer can enable a transformation from a legacy widget to a block, and once they created the blocks for content. But I hope that this opt-out kind of also triggers that a few plugin developers think about creating blocks instead of widgets for their features that they bring there. When you click, what does it mean, opt out? Well, you can opt out by installing the classic widget plugin that was created by the WordPress contributors, Tanya Mork, and we mentioned it before, and Andrew Oz, Tanya Mork and Andrew Oz from the core team. So you can opt out of the widget screen.
Yeah, that's one option. As far as you remember, there is also a team option that you can just call inside your team, and that would do exactly the same. So it's similar to how block templates, which we are going to cover soon, are handled. And there is a documentation page in the block editor handbook that covers that. So we can include the link so people can see what options there are if they don't want to see this new block-based widget screen on their websites. And speaking of template editors, so originally the idea was to have that always enabled in classic themes. However, there was a discussion between release leads for the WordPress 5.8 number, and they decided that it needs to be optional, and only site owners can decide, or team authors can decide, that it should be enabled. So this feature will be there, but it will be rather hidden for users. And you know, unless you are one of the authors that built and submitted to the team director editor, the full site editing enabled team that has this option enabled by default. So it's quite complex setup, but I think that's the best one to have based on the feedback received from the testing. And also circling back to what you said about the inline editing of the content when in template editing mode, that's the biggest confusion so far. And reports from testing say that people don't quite, they have troubles navigating in this setup. So that was one of the reasons why it isn't enabled.
Yeah. And I myself really fall into that trap as well until I realized, okay, I don't want to do an endless loop with my post content when I was playing around with a query loop. So yeah, I think it's a wise decision to have that opt-in for classic themes so nothing changes there. With the release candidate date coming up at June 29th, that's also the deadline when all the developer notes, the dev notes, so to speak, for the release should come in. There are four more that were published, and one is the block editor API changes. So it supports multiple admin screen. I think we mentioned that before, but it's that the admin screen is now in the widget editor. It's now in the theme editor and in the post editor. And so the API that changed that and made that possible will also make it possible to be used in plugins, for instance, or I'm still hoping to get it into the dashboard. Yeah, when I log in, the first thing I see is my editor and I can start a new post. That is kind of my dream of things. So I need to talk with some developers to do that.
Yeah, so this one is definitely something that is on minds of many developers these days. And we are discussing that because that's just, you know, mind-blowing that you would have a front-end inside the dashboard, which is like, you know, it's different front end, a lot of more confusion for everyone contributing to WordPress core, but it also opens so many new possibilities, how to use blocks and how to integrate them.
Yeah. Well, most of the time when a writer logs in, kind of the username and password people understand, but then they have to search for the add new post, kind of another click instead of just kind of being there on the editing. But that's just my, the writer or the publisher, the blogger from 10, 15 years ago that kind of wants to do that. And then Riad published a introduction to the template editor in WordPress 5.8. So that's certainly worth anybody's read who wants to learn more about it and how it kind of works and what it wants to accomplish. Another one, DevNote, is the bundle theme changes in WordPress 5.8 with having the block patterns be also introduced to other 20 themes, like 2015 received a gallery, two columns kind of block pattern that is in the style of the theme, the 2014 received got an about page or list page, a block pattern in the style. 2013 has some funky colors in there and it has a decorative gallery, call out quote, big quotes. It's very interesting how to kind of go back and see how those can come into the 21st century, so to speak, with the block editor. It goes back to 2011, actually, I think. No, 2010 as well. And they're all really...
I think it's pretty impressive that you can use the same paradigms because of the backward compatibility and bring that to software that was created 10 years ago. And it works, integrates nicely, and it just enables users to create content faster and the content will be better. So it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And I love that about WordPress, that backward compatibility, being strong about that.
And, yeah. You know,
thinking in front of not only users, but on also developers that extend the core.
Yeah. Well said.
And there's one more. It's like, this is the dev note that I compiled with the help from other folks. This is about block API enhancements. It's about block registrations. And like the gist of it is that we want to promote block registration on the server with PHP APIs that allow the plugin directory to detect blocks. And it also integrates nicely with REST API. So all the headless solutions would benefit from that. So I really encourage all the block developers to check out this post, and in the future update, if they didn't so far, and start using those PHP-based APIs and block.json format to make sure that they can get all the benefits that full site editing will bring, like, you know, individual style sheets on JavaScript that will be loaded only when the block is rendered on the front end. So, you know, we see a lot of comments now that people notice that the scores for Web Vitals are very high for teams that use this FSE paradigm. So this is one of the reasons why it all clicks, because we can take more informed decisions about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, talking about FSE themes, there is, and Justin Tadlock at the Tavern wrote about it. There's a new full-site editing theme available now by Anna Segoda from Arial Design, and it's really made for full-site editing as well, and has a great array of block patterns also in there. So I'll share that also in the show notes. There are many more dev notes to come, I think, because there are so many features in the 5.8, WordPress 5.8.
There's going to be a big one about the team JSON format.
Yes, that is that's still in the works, yes, with all the documentation and everything. So, but WordPress 5.8 has the Gutenberg plugins from version 9.9 to 10.7 in there, and some of the bug fixes that came with 10.8 and also with 10.9 are backported to 5.8. But Gutenberg is moving forward into the next era. And Gutenberg 10.9 came out this week. George Mamardashvili, I hope I didn't, I pronounced his name right. He's core contributor sponsored by GoDaddy, and he worked through this release process for the first time. He did an awesome job and in all of it, and including the post on the Make blog about the Gutenberg 10.9. So let's dive in. There were quite a few enhancements. And so the latest post is now limiting the latest post author dropdown to users that actually have published posts. So you don't see everybody who's an author in that list. That definitely improves the workflow for that. The big one is that the query loop, which is a very confusing name, has been renamed to post template.
Which brings more confusion, but I think it's for good.
Well, the post template, it's the template how a post is displayed. It will have a sister or a sister block, which is called the post list. And that's a kind of a prototype of that is already the latest post block that gives you a list of the post, how they are displayed on a summary page with some nice pattern. And so the renaming the query loop to post template is kind of the latest of this development.
Yeah. So just to summarize, to make sure that it's clear for everyone. So now we have the query loop block. That is something that you search for in the inserter, and the post template is the inner block that gets inserted together. So the names before were query and query loop, and the query loop is something that, you know, just transform from one block to another. So, you know, it's very confusing, but it's for better to have those distinction now, and it better explain the intent. And that will be included in WordPress 5.8 release, because it was one of the issues that was also raised during the testing phase.
Yeah, thank you for setting us straight here. then I think you need to see it and touch it, kind of to become really tangible and make it click, especially as a content creator. It really helps when you're trying to use it and then figure it out. There will be documentation. So I know that the blog end user documentation is in the works. I saw early drafts of that, and it will certainly contain all the content creators facing documentation for those new blocks. It's not the only block. There are about 13 new blocks that come with the template editor. And so you can, so it's site logo, site term. Yeah, Riyadh wrote in his, listed them all in his dev notes. So definitely see that. Okay, from the enhancements, I have one other thing. That's the post terms, that a CSS class is now available to identify the taxonomy that was hard to style before. And well, the legacy widget moved to the block WordPress widget package. What is that about, Greg?
So before that change, you would be able to use the legacy widget inside the post editor, which, you know, it would be nice to have. However, it brings several implications, like you would have to make sure that all the JavaScript for custom widgets is loaded, which didn't quite work well. So the decision was made that it should be only available inside the widgets editor. And it also has a good implication on the post editor, because it decreased the amount of JavaScript and a CSS style sheet that has to be loaded there. So it has a nice impact on the loading time.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, thank you for explaining that. It's definitely a great thing to not confuse things so much. Because in our brain, we still have post and widgets. They merge all into blocks, but the legacy is kind of the old way doing this, and that shouldn't come over here. I understand that.
I see it as a similar approach, how you would consider meta boxes in the post editor is also something that has to work. But the question is how much you want to support that in all the contexts that are available. And probably that's for the best, just to limit that to the screen where it was present before only.
And that also has the tools in there to handle all the legacy widgets options. All right, well, for the block editor, there's an enhanced link control with rich URL previews. We mentioned that before. Dave Smith has been working on that. So when you link to a page outside of your own site, it gives you a preview of the metadata that's on that page in terms of title, a little excerpt, and also the feature image. So you quickly can, on hover, see if you found the right link there when you linked it. Yeah,
it looks pretty sleek. I like that one. Mm-hmm. And it's fine because when you edit the link, you also see the changes on the fly. And so that helps a lot to make sure that your link is proper.
Yeah, I need that because I changed keyboard and now Control V and Control C is kind of on a different space. And I'm always kind of do Control something else. So, or I have still the previous link in there because the copy of the new link didn't run. Yeah, well, it's me and my problems. Okay. Yeah. So what's next?
There is a very nice change introduced to the list view. It gets another iteration, another improvement this time. There is an option for expanding and collapsing a group. So let's say when you get inside the footer, you can collapse that group if you don't want to edit that. So in general, you can just narrow down what you see in the list view and to make sure that you can operate only on the bits that you are interested about at the given moment. The only downside I see there is that when you refresh the page, all the collapsing and expanding disappears because it isn't stored anywhere. So I hope that the next iteration will bring persistence, and then it will be like a fully fledged solution for navigating inside this sidebar. And yeah, there is another change also related to the full site editing that helps to identify what you are about to do. It's like the changes to the breadcrumb that is on the very bottom area of the page. And it now contains, instead of saying document, it will say you the name of the content you are editing. So that could be a post, a page, or whatever custom post type you are using.
Or a template for that, because I think that's also very important for the template editor, that you're kind of trying to diffuse that confusion we talked about before. Yeah. So the blog support has an additional feature now that you can use in your theme JSON or in your functions PHP, is that it allows you to use non-pixel units for the border support. I think that's very important for a lot of designers when they do responsive things, and also to, yeah, non-pixel, so you can, yeah.
And we have a set of new icons to use. And that's pretty nice change. There is a lot. I see a bug, a key, a post author, and some security icons. And yeah, there are some contributions from various people. And I see more. So the one of them is from Philippe Varela, a product designer at Automattic, but there are also icons like trending down, trending up by Tetsuaki Hamano.
Yes, and so designers, I'm not quite sure how those icons are exposed, but they're definitely part of the G2 component reviews, and so they hopefully come to fruition in the editor UI pretty soon. So the template editing mode got a few enhancements as well. The welcome guide language for the template editor was updated and could use probably some more eyeballs on it, and to kind of make sure it's not too confusing. And then what's certainly helpful is that renaming from templates that are created by core, that's forbidden. Otherwise it gets really confusing. And then what I like the update of the template creation model, where when you create a new template, kind of comes up and asks you for a name and all that, and explains a little bit more. So that's that.
Yeah, we have also some changes to how the preferences are managed. So at the like before, when you wanted to change how blocks are used in the inserter, you would go to the separate model that you could reach on the right to top side in the more menu with the more menu that's available through the three dots icon. And now it was like consolidated and moved to the existing preference screen that already had some options merged together. And there is now another tab that you can use and disable or enable some of the blocks so they don't show up in the inserted through that screen. So there is also some feature requests to open that preferences screen for third party, so plugin could bring their own preferences. I like that idea. It's quite complex in terms of how to achieve that, but I hope that's something that's going to be looked into in the near future. So this screen is more powerful and more user-friendly as it grows, because like now you have four or five tabs already, it can get pretty busy soon.
Crowded, yeah. We spoke earlier about the breadcrumbs also having the entity in there. With this release, the team also added the breadcrumbs to the bottom of the widget screen. I have not seen this in the customizer widget section, but it's definitely in the widget screen. When you go to dashboard appearance and then widgets, you can see it there. Yeah, and that brings us to the bug fixes.
Yeah, so there are a few of bug fixes because we obviously are still in the beta phase of the WordPress major release. So one of them is for the site logo block. And there was a bit of going back and forth how to approach that in the most viable way. And so I think that the last fix was to update some hooks to make sure that they work properly with the core integration. So some changes weren't updated, and now remove team mode filter takes care of that. So that's Excellent. Great to see that everything is going to be good there. And for blocks, there was also a change that was raised that you couldn't add inline styles for blocks when they were using the new option to use individual styles for core blocks. And that was fixed by ensuring that for every core block, there is always a style handle available that you can use to, you know, hook into to add inline styles. So that's pretty nice now that you can just very simply to include some simple overrides for core blocks.
Excellent. Yeah. And then there was another bug fix for the post editor, and it now prevents locking users in a save state when the saving metaboxes fail. So that was often a case, and I ran into that quite a bit, when you have metaboxes in the sidebar from other plugins or from a theme, and they were all stored in meta, and that saving failed, you were also not able to save the post editor. It was just kind of stuck in the saving mode and would not come back to this is saved kind of thing. And that has been fixed now. Yay. Thank you, team.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And then
you don't want to get stuck during saving.
No, you don't want to get stuck there.
There is also a bug fix for a feature that was added for full site editing. It's a pretty nice from the accessibility perspective. So the idea of having a skip link, so when you are tabbing, and the skip link allows you to move to the skip some of the existing anchors to get to the main content of the page. So when you are on the front end, you can just go and start browsing the post, like the content of the post, rather than going through all the menus and stuff like this. And this one was enabled for in too many places, and it's now fixed, and it's limited to block themes and templates on the front end.
Yeah, that's good to only have that there. And then I stumbled over one data, and that's, I think, state management bug fixed that, but it only got my attention because it had the words block zombie children in there, which kind of remind me of a different area. Yeah, like the zombie coming out. And then when I read it, that Riyadh was also talking about zombie bugs. So there's something going on in the state storage.
Yeah,
but it's fixed.
It's fixed. That's great. We don't have to worry about zombies entering the world and their children.
Block zombies, yeah. The Gutenberg 10.9 also brought some performance and fixes, or fixes that increased performance, decreased page load. And one of them was to remove the isTyping root class. That sounds quite technical.
Yes, I guess it's, I don't know in which place this class was applied, but it was through React, and it was wasn't the most performant way. And there is now a different solution that achieves the same goal. So in the writing flow, you just can detect that someone is writing, so it impacts how the block toolbar is displayed and similar stuff like outlines and such. And this improved the performance of typing. And there was also upgrade. Now, like before, we had React 16.13, and it was great to React 17, which has almost an identical API, but it's a bit more performant. And it took a lot of time because it was bundled with the upgrade of React Native to version 0.64, which is for the native mobile apps for Android and iPhone. And now having that, we are also looking into React 18 that is just still in development, but there is also already discussion. Even one of the core team members from React team, Dana Bromov, chimed in and gave some hints how to test that. And like going into the future, like this new version, React 18, will bring another set of improvements to the typing. So that's great that, you know, the development of the library is going the direction that benefits also WordPress and all the users. So that's nice. And if you check the table with the performance improvements, you can notice that if you compare previous Gutenberg release 10.8 and with WordPress 5.7, we are now much better in terms of loading time. So it was like 5.7 seconds. Now it's 4.5 seconds. And
that's quite an improvement.
Yes. And for the key press, it's improving. Like in WordPress 5.7 is 32. In the Gutenberg 10.8 is 30 milliseconds. And in the latest version of Gutenberg is nearly 29. So the trend is in the right direction. It's improving all the time.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm looking really forward to the to the future and the React 18 that has also some exciting features like transitions that align with exactly what we need in the block editor to improve the key press, you know, the smooth experience. You are typing, you see immediately what's applied, right?
Excellent, yeah. I'm not sure if you, at the key press event, if you actually will notice 4 milliseconds, but you definitely notice the 1.2 seconds faster load time of the Gutenberg 10.9, yes. So in the experiment section, there is one thing that Jeff yesterday also demonstrated in our theme JSON live Q&A, that there is now a feature that makes syntax errors in the theme JSON file visible to users. So when you reload the editor and you have some syntax file, and that's very easily done. You can miss a comma, you can miss a colon or a quote, and it picks it up. So Gutenberg picks it up and shows it that the theme developer made a mistake there. I think it shows us that there is definitely a need for a user interface to assemble your theme JSON file, because it's so easily, you can, if you worry, okay, yeah, I just wrote the word green and why isn't it showing green? Oh, yeah, okay, I forgot a quote or something like that. That can be really frustrating, especially when you start out and you're doubting everything you're doing. So that is definitely helpful. Good call. And then
go ahead. In the ideal world, you would have an editor for the team JSON format inside the block editor. So you just edit and save that and update. You just have to have a special permission to do that, and that would override the file. And that's all you need, basically. And just, you know, go from there and just update, send to the team director, and you are done.
Yeah, it sounds so easy when you say that, right?
Easier said than done.
Yeah, and then in the full site editing, there were quite a few additional experimental things, but there's one that says split theme CSS styles loading.
So like for every block, you can define three types of styles. One is for the editor, one is for the front-end plus editor, and the other one is a team CSS. So it was probably something buggy in a way that you wouldn't have the split for individual files for the team.css for every block, and now it's fixed.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you. So we're coming to the documentation section, and there were quite a few. One is the Duotone support documentation that was updated, then the detailed Gutenberg release post process, where the team definitely worked on. But for the developers, there's also the update references for the register block type from metadata. We talked about it in our last episode, but that's pretty much what you also talk about in your dev notes.
Yes, it's covered in the block API enhancements dev note. So the generally we will reference it now as register block type because it just accept the same signature as the old method. The old method still remains for backward compatibility, just shorter.
Yeah. Now. And the documentation also has an update for legacy widget documentation with a new info on showing it the instance in REST feature, meaning that it only uses widget options now instead of the class property. And that is important for plugin developers and theme developers that use widgets in their code and to update that. So it will be able to be exposed in the block editor and the legacy widget. Okay.
And we reached the code quality section. And as usual, there's a lot of changes in that area. Is there anything you would like to highlight?
I didn't come across something that was standout for me, but sometimes I read over things.
Yeah, I'm just double checking if there is one of the changes in this release that I work on. So the idea was to stop using hard-coded strings for stores. And, you know, that was some of the changes that help us catch some unnecessary dependencies. So for the widget screen, we were loading post editor by accident. And because we have tools for that now, we catch that and we fix that. We find a temporary solution. So it might be just one of the latest backports that is not here on the list.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. You know, it's like the code quality and the tooling is very important. And we had some issues with end-to-end tests also in the last weeks. And it has improved a lot. But, you know, the tooling just ensures that we can confidently iterate and be so fast. So I think that this section is often overlooked, but it's so crucial to the success of this project.
Yeah, the updates with the end-to-end testing, that definitely is the quality assurance part that a lot of people take for granted, but it definitely needs to be worked on. You had, was that the one that ESLint GSDoc package to introduce the align check? You wanted to talk about that?
Yes, but I cannot find it. Because it's in tooling. So yeah, this one is one of the contributions that I really appreciate because it took several months of discussions and updates to in upstream projects to make sure that happens. So the issue was that in JSDoc, we had just quite random alignment for parameters, for the descriptions, and so on. And so this one not only introduces linting that ensures that it conforms with the coding styles for the JavaScript code base, but it also introduces an automatic fixes that are integrated with IDEs. So you just click, like, you know, align that property and just boom, everything is done for you, like magic. And so that's, I like those little tools that just make your life easier and like make sure that the code base looks the same in all places. It's like prettier for code formatting, which is capable of changing not only JavaScript, but also CSS, JSON, YAML, and so on. So
like, yeah.
Ensuring that the code looks like one person wrote it is, in my opinion, the most enjoyable part of this.
Yeah. Good. And that is the end of our change log for Gutenberg 10.9. We have just one thing that I came across for the active development. Of course, there's a lot of active development and discuss and going on. But our episode today is already, kind of coming up to the 40-minute or even hour length. So we kind of want to keep it shorter. But I came across a post from the BuddyPress team, and they are looking at a 9.0 release, and it has a very short release cycle, but they want to make sure that they have, for the block-based widget editor, they actually have blocks, and they are migrating their legacy widgets to and start with 10 new blocks. And BuddyPress has a ton of widgets because all the dynamic content that comes with a social network, be it an activity widget, be it a post per person widget, is it the members widget? Yeah, there are a lot of dynamic content that needs to come over, and they're all hidden in widgets. And of course, they could use the team is going through them and migrate them to blocks. It definitely is also a good place to study how to make that migration for other plugin developers. So I wanted to highlight that. And of course, I'm going to put the note that the Buddy team put out, posted on their blog. And that's all I have for that
Yes, it's
section.
very exciting. Yeah, I just wanted to add a note to that this widgets screen, it was a lot of work to make that happen, but it also ensures that now all the widgets that existed that I mean, they could be ported to blocks. They can now there's now an opportunity to make that happen because you see that people can use a different version up to date. And by doing that for the widget screen, the new updated one, you ensure that people can start using those functionalities also in other places when creating a content. And soon, when the full site editing is in full motion, you will be able to use this block anywhere you want. So that's definitely a stepping stone for the project. And I'm glad that we stick to that plan and have this widget screen, although it was a massive amount of work for the team that was busy for, I don't know, a year or even two,
2 years, I
to
think
make that happen and make sure that.
I think the first time I started testing it was something like August 2020 or something like that, and it was already in full development. So and that's almost a year ago, but there was some additional lead time to get it to that point to be testable. So the widget screen is going to be quite an interesting new feature in WordPress 5.8. And I know there have been a lot of tests for legacy widgets in certain quite a few plugins, but definitely any site owner should try to test it, or at least if you don't have time to testing, install the classic widget plugin. You shouldn't, unless you want to really test it to the full measure, not have to interrupt your own website to house that. It only comes actually to pass if you want to edit your widgets. If you're not doing anything, nothing will happen to your website. But if you want to edit, that's where the testing would come in, and that needs to be compatible. So that's my call. Remind everybody to make sure that you test your widgets. All right. Anything else that you want to add, Jagosh?
That's all on my side
All right.
regarding the announcements, updates, and active development.
All right. So there is this new testing call number 8 out for the theme JSON. If you're interested in themes and building themes, that's definitely something for you to check out and report back any bugs and any quirks and any confusions to the team so it can get better before it's then released later on in 5.9 or 6.0. As always, the show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And if you have questions, suggestions, or news you want us to include here, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. Thank you so much, Greg, for spending the time with me again here on the Gutenberg Changelog. And thank you to all the listeners that have been subscribers and to all the new listeners. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Birgit. As always, it's my pleasure to talk to you. And like, I'm looking forward to the WordPress 5.8 release that is around the corner. It's like 4 weeks left only.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.